he's coming to the rescue. He's going to give us some thoughts on the market. Jim O'Shaughnessy is back with us. He is head of O'Shaughnessy Asset Management, CEO there, based out in Connecticut, Stamford, Connecticut, about $7 billion in assets under management. But we find him in our New York studio on this Monday. Welcome back.
Great to be back, Carol.
It's great to have you back. God, I feel like I have a million questions, and I want to talk about some of the notes that you sent over. I always like to ask broadly, this market environment, kind of interesting?
Very interesting. I think we are, you know, ahead of the presidential election. Markets can be very volatile, and we have no difference here. I think that ultimately, though, who's president really doesn't affect the market over the long term.
Really?
Yeah, really.
We've seen that.
Yeah.
Over the past.
I mean, the market ultimately reacts to economics, and, you know, who's sitting in the Oval Office really doesn't make too much of a difference.
Well, you bring up economics, and we constantly talk about, Jim, this kind of slow growth environment, and we can't seem to get the needle moving substantially. Bloomberg radio listeners send me, well, we need spending, we need less regulation, we need some major initiatives really to kind of move the needle here.
I agree. I think that regulations are overdone. I think that there are unintended consequences from them. You can see that in the numbers.
Right.
And I think that...
Is that why you think we're stuck?
I do. I think that we really need to pare back some of the regulations. And I think that we've got to figure out a fair corporate tax rate, because we have our biggest companies keeping all of their money overseas.
Right.
And that is not at all helpful for us. We can certainly find the money to do an infrastructure spending, right? These very simple, easy to solve problems, right? And no one seems to be looking at them. They're talking about, you know, third or fourth iteration ideas,
right,
that really are not the core ideas that we need to face what we need to face.
It makes it tricky, though, for investors in kind of this low growth environment, low yield environment.
Indeed. There's no question about it. You know, one of my precepts is if you have less than a 5-year timeline, you should have no money in the stock market. I think that successful investing is a marathon, not a sprint. And I think that what we see is so many individual and even institutional investors are, you know, letting quarterly returns drive who they hire and fire. And I think, you know, quarterly returns, that's 100% noise.
I love what you said about hire and fire. And what, I can't find the line.
Yeah.
What is it?
There's a study that you can find by going to Josh Brown's Reform Broker. And what they found was that the managers that got fired outperformed the managers that they hired.
So if they just stayed with them.
If they'd have just stuck it out. And that's the problem.
Well, why do you think then so many hedge fund guys who have had great long-term track records are closing shop and saying, we're done?
Well, I think for a variety of reasons. I think there's a lot of fee pressure for both the hedge fund community and for my long-only community. And, you know, they get to a point where how many yachts can you ski behind?
Right.
And they turn themselves into family offices. And, you know, even people with great pedigree are just saying enough. And so I think what we're going to see is a barbell, right? We're going to see firms like ours that is highly differentiated, you know, highly concentrated portfolios with high active share. And those will be married to companies that are, or to strategies that are indexing.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, the active versus passive management debate that I feel like is going on. I keep bringing up this number. Someone on our Bloomberg team reminded me that, like, all of the new money that's going into, whether it's ETFs or index funds at this point, like 70% of it is going to Vanguard, because this is where people are going. Remind everybody about your strategy and how you look at the market.
So we have several, but the one I was going to talk about today is a strategy that buys large cap stocks that are very cheap and have very high shareholder yield. Now, shareholder yield equals dividend yield plus buyback.
Right.
And if you want to see an outstanding piece on buyback, go to www.osamresearch.com. My colleague Chris Meredith has really knocked it out of the park with this one. What we have found is that these cheap companies that are buying back shares with high conviction. Now, high conviction is anything above 5% of the float, okay, right? They do extraordinarily well over long periods of time. Indeed, when we looked at how they do in rising rate environments, they outperform.
They outperform.
And you can't say the same for a lot of the other strategies. Now, back to the ETFs. I definitely believe that there is a day of reckoning coming. Because you have, so-called, low beta, low volatility strategies that are very expensive.
Right.
Because investors have piled into them. And ultimately, where you are in terms of your valuation matters. And so I think that there might be a lot of investors who think that they bought this low vol strategy, right? Mm-hmm. That, okay, I don't even have to look at it. I think they're in for a big surprise.
They're going to be surprised, do you think?
Very, very surprised.
It's interesting you talk about the buybacks. Do you think, though, that that's going to be slowing down? Like, we have seen buybacks slow down. So what has that done to kind of your strategy and your performance?
It hasn't affected it. There are always companies doing high conviction buybacks.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned, we really want them to be very cheap.
Right.
And we want them to have very good financial quality and very good earnings quality. But there's still a large list, right? Because most of buybacks are low conviction, right?
Right.
A company buying less than 3% of its outstanding shares. We're only interested in high conviction, cheap buybacks.
Got just 30 seconds, then we'll come back and talk some more. But is it easy, though, in this environment where so many names have been bid up in terms of finding value? Is it the mid-cap space that you're playing in? Or are you
Actually, no, we're in large cap.
You are always in the large
cap. And
caps.
There's a lot of very, very inexpensive companies who have elected to buy back their shares. And we think that when you look historically, that has been one of the smartest things that they can do. Net issuers over long periods of time, they very rarely outperform. You know, over a 10-year period, it's something like 1% to 3%.
All right, we're going to talk. Give me some names when we come back.
Sure.
Not yet. Jim O'Shaughnessy with us, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer at O'Shaughnessy Asset Management, roughly $7 billion in assets under management, based in Stamford, Connecticut, in our New York City studio here on Bloomberg 1130. Jim O'Shaughnessy is with us, President and CEO of O'Shaughnessy Asset Management. They've got roughly $7 billion in assets under management, based in Stamford, Connecticut, in our New York studio. So you're talking about your strategy. You're looking for value stocks. You like them that are doing buybacks.
Yes.
And you said you are finding opportunities in the large cap space.
Absolutely. I think that how CEOs and boards deploy capital is very, very important to us as shareholders.
I know I've challenged you with this before, but I mean, that whole idea of better to do a buyback or to boost a dividend versus invest in the business.
Right. What we've done is studies looking at all of the above. And what we found is the ones doing buybacks. Now, let's be clear. They're cheap.
Right.
They're financially strong and they have good earnings quality. Right. So that's a big subset. They actually have the absolute best returns over long periods of time. Net issuers, you actually lose money. External financing, one of the worst things that you can see. If you see a company doing high external financing, it means that they don't have the cash flow to cover their obligations.
Right.
So we think that, you know, low conviction buybacks do a little better than the market as a whole, but not significantly better. Capital spending, same difference. You're not seeing the returns to shareholders over long periods of time.
That's interesting.
It's fascinating.
A little discouraging because you would think investing in the business.
Indeed, indeed. And yet we have these numbers going back to the 1920s. And, you know, buying shares with the highest buyback. Now, granted, there was a rule in, I think, 1982, which made them much more attractive. And so you saw a lot more of that going on then.
Right.
But the fact is, all the way back to the 20s, high shareholder yield, high buyback yield works extraordinarily well.
Talk to me about some specific names.
Well, we're seeing a lot of great names in consumer discretionary and industrials. Kohl's would be a good example. The mighty GE would be a good example. GE currently has a shareholder yield of 14.36. That we love the double digits.
Right.
Kohl's is currently at 12.84. So you're definitely seeing a bevy of stocks.
That's so interesting because Kohl's, we know it's part of the kind of beaten down retail sector. So people tend to, some do, maybe run in the other direction.
Always. You know, being a successful value investor means you're running toward the fire rather than running away from the fire.
It's not so easy.
No, it's not easy. And that's the other part of what we do, right? We are quantitative. We are highly disciplined. I always joke that the four horsemen of the investment apocalypse are fear, greed, hope, and ignorance. And only ignorance is not an emotion.
Right.
I believe that emotional responses to short-term market movements has wiped out far more investor profits than any bear market could ever do.
Well, look at this year, just with the Brexit vote, right? How quickly the market sold off and how quickly it bounced back. But if you thought that there was something more substantial there after that vote, you got hurt.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, the short term is very appealing to us, right? Because we're living in the here and now. You know, I came in here today to see you and talk with you, and people are going to be interested about what we talk about.
Right.
But the fact is, we believe passionately that what you really want to look at is process, not outcome.
Jim, how come, though, so many, I feel like, you know, the way we think about the market has kind of gotten screwed up because global monetary policy has been low for so long, despite kind of maybe everything else that's going on. Like, and you know what I mean? Like, that we've had stocks and bonds trading correlation that we don't normally see. And yet, your way of approaching the market has kind of held true.
Yes, absolutely.
Why hasn't it been, I don't know, thrown off because of this kind of unprecedented environment that we've been in?
Well, I think at the end of the day, markets are about economics, right? And whatever exogenous variables are in the way, they get priced in. And so I do think that the very low interest rates have been very rewarding to people like me, equity risk investors. Because, you know, we're doing a very, in my opinion, dangerous thing in that people in their 70s and 80s, well, they can't get any return from CDs or from money market funds.
Right.
And so they're being pushed, sometimes unwillingly, into the equity markets. But I would also maintain that, you know, I'm 56 years old. I should have a majority of my investments in equities. We also have another strategy called enhanced dividend, which has a very nice dividend. Mm-hmm. They could live off of that dividend. But again, you've got to understand that you've got to be in it for the long term, because what happens is we're making these choices, I believe, emotionally.
Yeah.
And we're watching or we're listening to you on Bloomberg or watching Bloomberg TV. And a guest comes on and says, my prediction is, well, the fact is, Barton Biggs did a big book on this. And the fact is, monkeys flipping coins are just as accurate as these vaunted projections. So they really need to be not looked at.
Right.
What you want to look at is there a process that has proven itself over long periods of time?
Right.
And then stick with it.
Right. Understand the strategy. And if it works,
let it work.
We got to run. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Same here. Nice to have you here. Jim O'Shaughnessy, Chairman, Chief Executive Officer at O'Shaughnessy Asset Management, $7 billion in assets under management here in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. Coming up next, we've got Kathleen Hayes sitting down with the Fed President of the Cleveland Fed, Loretta Mester. She'll be joining you right here on Bloomberg Radio, also taking you through the market close. This is Bloomberg.